What is that supposed to look like, a raccoon?
No, it's a mustache. Look. You never did that? You never had a mustache by putting a pen between your lip and your nose?
No.
Oh, gosh. You're missing out. It's super
Listen,
fun.
there's a big problem here. I don't know what
Okay.
happened to my wireless mouse, but it stopped working. There's not much to these wireless mice. You plug the
Yeah.
thing in, your USB porty port thing, and
Yeah.
then you have a wireless mouse. It stopped working yesterday. I have one on Amazon that's coming tomorrow, but
Okay.
I hate using the pad on the laptop as your
Oh.
mouse. So I'm going to be slow.
Well, what's new?
Because
Hey, do you know what the thing is that goes in your USB porty port? Do you know what it's called?
nodule.
No, it's called a dongle.
I didn't know that.
It's called a dongle.
It's very annoying. And then you got to find the things that slide down your screen instead of just using the mouse. I don't know how civilized people work without mice, but here we are.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't have one for a long time. I just got used to the mouse pad. So maybe you gotta live life without it for a while.
I won't do that. I will throw this laptop across the room and watch it shatter in a million pieces, and I'm not going to live like a caveman like this.
Okay. Sounds good.
Happy Monday, Grace. Happy
Monday.
106.
Yeah.
It's in the mix, and we're going to talk about forest animals a little bit today
Yep, we sure are.
that get deadly diseases sometimes. Although I'm gonna go off on a tangent here. Raccoons getting rabies and having rabies is a huge I forget the word I'm looking for. It doesn't happen as much as people think. Just because you see a raccoon out in daylight doesn't mean it's sick and is going to bite you and is full of rabies and you got to scream
Okay,
and
but it
alert.
probably doesn't want to be my friend either.
No, but let it be. It's misconception.
Okay,
Misconception. That's the
there
word
you
I was looking for.
go. Okay.
So just because you see a raccoon out, do not, it's a misconception to think, oh my God, that's a coon. It's out in daylight. It has rabies. Oh my God. Like, oh my God.
My God.
Oh my God. I could do that all night long.
Yeah,
Anyway, you
you
ready to get started with this show?
I'm ready to get started.
All right, Grace, then listen up. Put your little cup of Jaja juice down and listen to the start. Hold on, I got to get my pad ready to hit the right button because I don't have a mouse. All right, you ready?
Ready.
Grace, rabid raccoon 100, or we're just going to say rabid raccoon. Let me start over. Rabid raccoon is right around the corner. And we've got John, who's a big supporter, and Marisa, who's a little bit shorter, to give us all the tips and tricks on episode 106.
Bravo.
I'm Eric Idiot Renner Kosek.
And I'm Grace Hot Pants Langheim. Eric is all business in the front of the pack, and I am all about the party in the back.
That's right, business up front and party in the back. Together, we are the running mullet.
And we are going to talk about every aspect of running, the podium to the DNF and everything in between.
If you are a runner, this show is for you. Now sit back, get out your foam roller, and enjoy the party. Schaefer asked if I checked the batteries in my wireless mouse.
Yeah.
You know, Schaefer, I know you think I'm an idiot, but I used about 30 of my AA batteries that are brand new because I thought I was an idiot and putting them in wrong. Yes, I checked the batteries. Gosh. All right. Anyway, before we bring these two knuckleheads on,
Yeah.
Grace, did you know that raccoons live 1 to 3 years in the wild? But in captivity, they can live up to 20.
I did not know that.
Did you know that they sleep for extended periods of time in the winter, but yet they do not hibernate?
Oh, I did not know that.
They can weigh anywhere between 4 and 23 pounds.
Awesome.
They're found all over the world, Grace.
Okay.
From wooded areas to big cities.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, Grace, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. It's Mondays are busy for me now. I got the adulting work stuff. I run and I got adulting work stuff till 3:30. Track starts exactly at 3:30, runs to 5:30-ish. Then we come home, we eat dinner real quick, we shower, and then we sit down here. We do this show, then we get in the bed and go to sleep to do it all over again without the show.
Right.
Yeah, it's crazy. How's your weekend?
So I have a fun story about my weekend. You want to hear about it?
Make it quick.
Okay, you got it. Lacey and I had another fun weekend where what we do is we rent an Airbnb and then we'll just go hiking or walking for the whole weekend and eat like cheese and crackers for dinner. You know, like we just have a blast and we laugh and we have a good time. So we've done this several times and I use rental properties. Like I'll use Vrbo or Airbnb. Have you used them before?
Yeah, I'm a Vrbo guy most of the time. I don't really know why.
Same. I'm usually Vrbo, but sometimes Airbnb. And I've been using them for probably 7-8 years, like a long time. I've been using them. I use them several times a year. That's what I prefer. And I had my first horror story. I was in a really good mood and I think that helped. So Friday I had like an awesome day at work and I was really super excited to spend the weekend with my friend. And so I roll up to the Airbnb, which is a little bit difficult to find. But I pull up to it and it doesn't look super nice from the outside compared to the photos, but I'm like, you know, it's coming out of winter. It's like March time. So whatever, it's fine. And so I put in the code and then I open the door and very obviously people have been living there for a while. So there's like TVs on, clothes everywhere, mozzarella sticks on the kitchen counter. The place is trashed and a dog comes downstairs. I accidentally let a cat in that acted like it lived there. I don't know if I did it or not. So I go back out to my car, terrified. I think I have the wrong place. I look it up. It's definitely the correct place, but definitely people are living there. So I don't know if it's a squatter, what situation is happening. So I message the owner. I'm like, what is going on? Maybe there's a misunderstanding and somebody else is like a long-term rental. I know that happens sometimes. No, owner sold the house and did not remove the listing and all the communications were just automated and nobody changed the lock code. So
You walked in somebody else's house.
I walked into somebody's house and they weren't home. Thankfully, I don't know if it could have been a dangerous situation for me if I was walking in and somebody was home.
That is crazy. That shouldn't be able to be allowed to happen somehow.
No, I was pretty upset. I was with the situation, and I was refunded, thankfully. But then I had to find a place very quickly because I'm not going to cancel my weekend plans because of this, you know. And since we were booking last minute, we found a place that was discounted because it was a last minute booking, and the next owner was just very communicative and booked us within 15 minutes. And it was really nice of them to do that. So that was my weekend. That was pretty wild. It started out wild, then we had a great time.
That is crazy. That would be kind of freaky for sure.
Yeah.
Especially if somebody was sitting there on the couch and you walked in and be like, I'd flip out if I was them.
Yeah. If somebody just walked into your front door.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I guess that's the price you pay for getting into this rental business stuff. But, yeah, that is a crazy story.
Yeah. So Lauren had a good weekend.
Yeah, Lauren had a really good weekend. She had fun in Virginia running a national indoor meet. Two races, two medals, one first place.
Yay!
Yeah, so that was cool. I did not go to see that. That was like 10 hours away. Their parents had taken her down, nice enough to take Lauren with them. Yeah. But I did get to watch live on the live feed, which was pretty awesome. I was literally screaming my head off at my phone as she was passing this girl in the 3000. Pretty intense to watch when you can't do anything about it.
Yeah. So Lauren, national champion, COSAC. Congratulations to Lauren.
Yep. I have a feeling that there'll be some more good stuff coming up in the next couple of years.
Yeah. It's very cool. Okay. We have other things to talk about.
All right. Let's, you want to bring these knuckleheads on?
Yeah.
All right. One and the biggest one, two. Welcome, knuckleheads.
Hey, guys.
Woohoo! Takes one to know one.
Two of our favorite people, our favorite guests that we've had on, our favorite trail runners, our favorite personalities, our favorite writers, our favorite speakers. Gosh, this is...
I'm blushing. Just get on with the questions already.
Oh, that none of that was about you. That was all Marisa.
Fair enough. Yeah.
And then we have Ugly John. No, I'm just kidding. All right. So Rabid Raccoon is this coming weekend. Rabid Raccoon, 100 miler, 100K, 50K, Trashy Panda. They have a couple other fun little things mixed in there. It's a trail running, I don't want to call it festival, but it seems like it's becoming that of all kinds of different distances all weekend long. And you too, Marisa, you're running the 100 miler.
I am.
And John apparently just signed up for the 100K. Like it's a 5K on the weekend and you decide you're free. Correct?
Yeah. Well, you tell people you're going to do something, you have to follow through with it. So.
All right. Well, let's hear the story. Who are we speaking of that you said you were going to do it?
Oh, gosh. Well, so there's a couple different running groups. There's the fireman crew that they run Monday night, the firehouse crew. Then there's the Tuesday night crew led by Reagan McCoy, and they do crazy things at night. And then just like my trail sister from Ever in a Day, Tessie Barnes. So they're all like, well, you've got to do this. And I didn't realize it was also Fire on the Rocks weekend, which I never missed one of those since the inception. So, but I did get Craig his firewood and his table, so he's good to go. Tess fell under the weather. So, and I really wasn't trained, not that I really ever trained for much anyway, but I said, well, you know, she's like, I don't even know if I'm going to do it. I'm like, well, I said I was going to do it with you, so why don't you see if you can drop down from the 100 miler to the 100K? And much to my relief, she was able to do that. So hence where I will be Saturday morning at 5 a.m.
Yeah. And I will, I want to add, because you mentioned that, like the race organization, I'm drawing a blank. What are they called? Anybody know? Anyway, the race organization that puts it on does seem very they're willing to work with everybody and do everything possible. Like if you want to drop down, if you want to move, what's that?
Wolf Creek.
Thank you. The way they do things, I can appreciate. You know, I'm sure us runners, we become a hassle with emails constantly to organizations, race organizations, and dropouts and changes and wanting to do this and try this. But everything I've heard with them, they're pretty welcoming to make everybody's wishes come true, I guess, easiest way to put it. So you're running with Tess then for the 100K?
Yes. Well, I may have to drop back or run faster to catch up to oh my heavens, drawing a blank.
That's all right. A runner.
Ange, scoon over. I need sparkles. That's what's going to get me to the finish, are her sparkles.
Yeah, this face sparkle thing is becoming quite a fad across the nation right now with started with her.
She's a trendsetter.
I know. It seems
that started with Callie.
Oh.
Me and Callie when we did Tuscazor together.
Gotcha. She was telling me how it like protects your cheeks. It protects your cheeks from like the cold and the wind. Like she was telling me, if you put it on, it like creates a coating on your face, and then your cheeks don't get frostbitten.
Yeah.
I don't think there's gonna be any frostbite this coming weekend. Oh, yeah. Ricky was telling me it's high of 70 on Saturday, and even the Friday nights like 50s or something. That'll be nice.
I did see rain.
Sunday.
Yeah, well.
You'll be done by then. you don't need to worry about rain during. You need to worry about this week leading up to it for conditions. And it looks like it's pretty dry.
Yeah, so. And we've been low on rainfall this year to start with. So even if you get a little bit of rain.
It's not the rainfall that we've had. It's the melt off I would be worried about. But I don't know how much snow they actually had out there. I don't know.
Probably not much.
Should be interesting. The course is a 13-mile loop. 100Kers do how many loops? Five loops, and 100-milers do 8. Mm-hmm. So it is single track trail. It's a nice loop. I think you'll both enjoy it. So Marisa, what made you sign up for the 100-miler for this race? What was your true motivation?
They're putting on that great promotion to try and get the word out to female ultra endurance athletes. And I think they were very successful last year. I think this year they were twice as successful. So your beautiful wife actually tipped me off to somebody that had because if you bought one, you got one free.
Yeah.
She had a free entry that hadn't been used up yet. And I'm not going to say no to a free 100-mile race. I think it's the first year of it, it was kind of on my radar. I'm definitely due for the 100-mile distance. I haven't done it in quite some time. I'm not sure if I'm ready, but I'm willing. I need to know. I need to get out there and find out. Oh, and Tawny, if you're on, the free registration came from Tawny. And it was Becky that gave me the idea. So thank you to both of you for that.
Nice. Yeah, it was a great promotion. And I think it was worth them doing it. They did get quite a few. I remember seeing their numbers a week or two ago. They put something out. And again, kudos for them. I mean, they offered quite a few free entries, and these 100-milers aren't cheap. So to be able to do that just to get female participation up is I think pretty awesome.
Right. I was grateful for it, and I know that I'll make the most of it regardless of how it goes. So I was grateful for the entry.
So let's hear about goals. What are our goals for Saturday? Marisa?
I really am kind of trying to go into this one laid back. Again, I'm not physically ready for this. I just think with the nature of my injury and hamstring tear, I don't know if I'll ever be able to say I'm physically ready for anything ever again. And that's okay. That's okay because I've developed this weird, I guess it's not weird, but because my physical ability is so unpredictable with this injury, I've developed this crazy ability to strengthen the mental side out of it. So even though I'm going in there apprehensive about what my body is capable of, mentally, I'm locked on. I mean, I do think that once you complete this distance of 100 miles, you kind of earn the ability to bottle it up and kind of put it in your back pocket. So at any time I'm out there and I'm questioning, and I've done this before to myself, whether or not I'm going to be able to get through this, I fall back on that. You know, once you do it once, you know you're capable of doing it again. So you kind of just have to stop yourself and say, hey, get your shit together. And then everything comes back full circle again. And I'm using that mental side of it in almost everything I do now. And I think it was a great strength that came out of something really negative. So my goal is to really just get through it and remind my body of what 100 miles feels like. Yeah. And I'm not that nervous yet. I think I will be. But really, that's like my only goal. And I know sometimes I say that and then I get out there and I'm like, oh, maybe I can race it. But I thought that idea has kind of farted out of my brain already. Like, I'm just using this as a reminder to my body that I know how to do this. And then it's moving on through the summer to other things.
That's my goal. I think you're right about the, you know, once you do it, it's just, it's breaking through a pane of glass. It's a confidence builder. You know it can be done, even if it's not pretty. It's always going to be there. That you did it once, you can do it again, regardless of whether your training was perfect or whether you're fighting some kind of weird injury. Schaefer, how's your training been going, and what are your goals are to, I'm guessing, talk loudly the whole time and finish with a smile, somewhere along those lines?
Well, that pretty much sums it up in a nutshell. So I didn't realize it's kind of a liberal cutoff, the time. I was like, oh my gosh, not that I want to be out there for 30 plus hours, but because my original goal was like 20. And I talked with Tess because I don't plan on abandoning her. And because when I did Eastern States, I was into the awesome Slate Run aid station, or what the heck's it called? Yeah, Tone Flats. By 12:30. So, you know, you're at mile 60 at that point, with almost double the elevation of what we're actually going to do out there. And I did that in 19 and a half hours. So I'm like, okay, 20 is a realistic goal. 17 would be kind of neat. But, you know, kudos to Marisa, because at one point in her life, she was going into a big race saying, I am ready. Yeah, it's good for you, girl. You go. I'm just going to go out there. And I mean, it was so, like, when you go away, like when we went down and did your Tame the Tower, it's cool to get out of your comfort zone, not doing all the races that you normally typically do. So I'm excited to meet new people. And, you know, trail running's really helped me in that, because I've always been kind of a shy, backwards, kind of bashful person. So this trail running thing's really, really helped me to, like, be more, more confident and to approach people and talk to. Yeah.
To come out of your shell.
But yeah, so I'm just looking to, as people lap me, I'm just going to cheer them on and hoot and holler and have a good time and finish the race at some point. It's my goals.
When you leave there, John, people will know who you are. I love knowing that. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, it is true. The best part about these loop type races is the fact that, and it has different distances going on, but in something like Eastern States, you can find yourself by yourself for hours and hours and hours, literally hours, if not the whole race, if you're that lucky or unlucky, however you want to look at it. But this race, because there's 50K runners that are doing, how many loops they have to do, but 50K runners, 100K runners, and 100 milers, you will see people every single loop. You're going to pass people. People are going to be passing you. So it kind of breaks up the monotony and keeps your mind off of the suck, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
It should be good. Hopefully the course is a little drier than last year. I know we had some serious mud last year, but I'm sure those spots are still going to be there, because those were like springs coming out of the hill. Yeah,
the year prior to, I think, was the same. I mean, I remember Trevor coming back and telling me it was like running through peanut butter. I mean, it's that thick kind of mud that's going to eat your shoe. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a lot of people going through it.
Yeah.
The setup of the start and finish is very unique in that it's inside a big building, which makes life for crew very comfortable. And it's, you know, it sounds like it's going to be a beautiful weekend, but to be dry and warm and, you know, have a camp chair in a building is pretty, pretty nice. And even the finish line's inside there too, which is, it's just different than what we're used to.
Mm-hmm. It made it easier to plan and pack because you don't have multiple drop bags that you have to strategize over. And even Devil Dog was a looped course, but we still had drop bag points. And I knew the weather going in that I needed, you know, a raincoat in every drop bag, whatever else I needed, dry socks. But you forget, you don't take into account that in the rain, and if you don't have the expensive waterproof drop bags, your shit's going to eventually get wet. All of that is eliminated for this one, and I'm really excited about that. So it just makes it easier to pack what you need, get it all together. You don't have to spend... I'm very strategic when it comes to packing drop bags, especially when I don't have a crew or a pacer. And I am going to have Rhoda pace me, but I'm not going to have like Robert there. So that makes it easier to just have everything in one spot. Every time I come in, I know what I need and it's not wet. A plus.
Yeah. How many, Chris Young asked, how many aid stations are in the loop? I forget. Do you guys know off the top of your head?
I think there's two others.
Hmm. So there's start finish and then there's two on course. Yeah.
And then there's also a water drop, I'm pretty sure.
Nice. And this year they gave you, or they're giving you the option to go through the stream that is like almost knee high deep, or take some bridge detour around. If I find out that either of you take that detour, I don't know if I could ever talk to you again. Just not that there's anything wrong with it. Yeah, it might be up to your neck now that I'm thinking about it.
Was that not there last year? This creek crossing, stream crossing?
The creek crossing was there, and then they kind of softened it by allowing people, allowing you to take this detour around it now. Which is fine. We can all have our opinions on that, but
straight through.
Right, that's right. It's cold too. I mean, it feels good on your achy muscles, but it's I know you guys are gonna go straight through every time. There's gonna be cameras out there, Schaefer. So if somebody snaps a picture of you on some footbridge, I'm coming after you.
Tess will make them go straight through.
I think it's a little extra mileage to go over the footbridge.
Yeah, it adds like a 1 point some mile. It added like a bunch of miles by the end.
Oh really?
No.
Yeah. If we're not doing that. Yeah, water all the way all day.
Yeah. So how about race plan? I mean, like you're just gonna run and see how both of you just see how the John, I know you're running with Tess. But Marisa, do you have any kind of plan? Are you trying anything different for this race compared to other longer races?
You know, I'm notorious for going out fast, and I know this about myself, and I almost never check myself on it. I think there is a level of joy there that I don't know how to contain in the beginning. And my brain doesn't really understand that. Like anger, contain it. Like frustration, contain it. Stress, contain it. But when it comes to joy, like what's the use of bottling that in? So that's at least that's what I tell myself after every race when I look back and I'm like, yeah, you went out too fast. So I already know what's going to happen. I'm okay with it. Like I said, this is, I don't really have a race plan put in check. I haven't really had a training plan put in check. I've just been kind of doing what my body and my hamstrings are allowing me to do right now. I will pick up Rhoda probably after the third, or no, I'll pick her up for the last three loops if she's wants to join me for those. She's coming out to face me, and I'm so grateful because I really love running with Rhoda. Even when we're dead silent, the miles still tick by with her for some reason, I don't know. So it's up to her how many miles she wants to get in, but I do know that that will help me look forward to those last three loops, which everybody knows by then you're foggy, you know, my legs will be shot. my brain will be running the show. You know, my mental side will be taking over at that point. And I love knowing that I'll have the strength of like the best female trail runner I've ever known right at my back. So I'm grateful for that.
That's awesome.
That's a big motivator.
Yeah.
Grace, got any questions about the rabid raccoon?
Oh my gosh, so many questions. Marisa, are you going to have crew or are you just going to have Rhoda pacing?
Just Rhoda, Robert and the girls aren't. It's just so far. Like it's a 4-hour drive. It's just typically further than I go. And there's not going to be that much for them to do. I don't want to force Robert into it because then I'm out there running with this huge weight of guilt. And he doesn't really want to go. It's so strange that the more that he's not around for these races, the more that he's supportive, like in other ways. Yeah. So he's showing up less. This year for Eastern States, he's not coming out either. I think just to the finish line. But it's made us like he's still so supportive of it behind the scenes, and I think I need it more. So I'm not going to force him out. So I know that Lauren will be out there with Becky. There's going to be so many faces out there that I know and love that will be there as help. But a crew per se, I don't have anybody.
You'll be all right. You have a little, you're going to have a little area set up for yourself.
Well, that's my plan, is to get out there early enough Saturday morning to kind of snag a corner and kind of get everything set up.
Okay.
Just like in my head, it's like a long backyard. You know what I mean? Yeah. You're just coming in, you got your stuff, you know where you go. It's in and out at that point.
Yep, absolutely. This is always a fun question. Schaefer, what shoes are you wearing?
I'm bringing two pairs of La Sportivas, my Bushidas and my Akashas.
Okay.
And that's nice to know that there's a water cross because they both drain really well.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't know that prior to?
No, I didn't know there was aid stations other than the start finish line.
Do you know what distance you're running?
I knew it was like around 12 miles per lap, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I've been taking notes.
Okay. Yeah, good job.
We have poor Mike, who is an amazing, amazing man. I'd marry him if I wasn't married. Yeah. So, yeah, whether he's coming willingly or unwillingly, he's going to be our crew man. So
nice. I have a feeling there's going to be a pretty big idiot runner area. So there's going to be so many people there available to crew and pace and do whatever everybody needs. Marisa, what shoes are you wearing?
I was fortunate enough this past holiday season to be gifted with a couple pairs of shoes, which is like freaking huge to me because I've been running the crap out of my old shoes. So I have a new pair of Speedgoat 5s. I did get a new pair of Speedgoat 6s. And I got a really good deal on a pair of Tectons, the newer version.
Ooh.
So I think I'm going to swap out the 6s and the Tectons, or maybe start in the Tectons and move to the 6s. I've been running with them pretty often just because the Tectons kind of make my toes go numb, which I just really started happening. But they're pretty worn in. I'm more comfortable in the Speedgoats, but
you like the new 6s?
I do like them. And I know they were a little not well received, but I've been enjoying them.
It seems like the Speedgoats, every time there's a new one, they're not well received. And then everybody buys them. Like we all buy them. We're going to buy them every year. That's what's going to happen. And we'll wear them too.
The Tecton is an interesting one too. And it's not nearly as popular as the Speedgoat, but the original Tecton X, which was the first Tecton, is still my favorite trail shoe, and the following models, it's just not there. I don't even know what's missing, but I keep getting on eBay and finding new pairs of the original ones and buying them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I did have a pair of the original ones and I wore the crap out of those things. Like it was so hard to tear myself away from them towards the end, even though there was like no rubber left, you know? But I haven't had a negative issue yet with the newer ones.
Nice. Huh. Other than they make your toes go to sleep.
Other than they make my toes.
That's not a problem.
You don't need toes until later. It's fine. Eric, what advice? Because you were crewed Becky, right? You were there last year.
Oh no, I ran the 100 and dropped out.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. I only remember the time.
I don't feel like you did forget. I feel like that was your way of having me on this live show come out that idea.
I wish that were the case because I would have done it. I would have done it with more style had that been the case.
I had my reasons, but anyway, I think I ran 50 miles. Becky ran the 100 miler and finished it last year. Yeah. So I did
won it.
Crew her.
Won it. She won it last year.
Yep.
That's so since you were on the course and also you helped Becky complete it, like you kind of did dual, what advice do you have for these two for this weekend?
I don't know. I could ask Becky that same thing because she spent more time on the loop than me, obviously, but it's super runnable. I know you hear that all the time, but there's a lot of stuff that you can run. So it would be best to pace yourself. Mm. The hills aren't Eastern States 1,000-foot climbs nor descents. There's a couple like rocky steep descents, but they're pretty short lived. But yeah, overall it could be a fast time if you want it to be, if you're feeling good, that would be what I would say. Mm-hmm. I think the muddy parts, most of the ones that we saw last year are probably going to be muddy no matter what the weather is, just maybe not as bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Other than that, I mean, it's a very nice 13 mile loop, 12 mm-hmm. or 13 miles. What is it? Yeah. I thought it was 13. Single track, and the fact that you guys haven't ever been on it or seen it, I like that, you know, for a while. We all get used to the trails around here. We love our trails up here in North Central PA, but it is nice to get on something that's totally new where you don't know what's around the corner type of thing.
Right. Now, how was the, I'm sure the aid station had all kinds of stuff, but do you have any recommendations for these two on like managing through the aid station, some things that you thought, like they didn't have hot food until later or something, which I don't know if that's true or not. Did they have hot food right from the get-go or any
good question, Grace?
Yeah.
I don't know about the hot food, if they had it the whole time, if they had soups and stuff, but I would say the aid stations were very comparable to what all four of us are used to.
Okay.
That'd be my answer there. They have everything you need and more. As far as candy and carbs.
Okay. Lots of candy, lots of carbs. Now, what about hydration pack versus bottles?
Versus
what? You always do bottles for everything, right? Like handheld. When
you say bottles, what do you mean? Handheld?
Yeah. Or a waste.
I mean, I would say that in my opinion, this is a good race to wear a hydration belt. Let your chest mm-hmm. breathe a little bit. Vest is totally fine. It is 13 miles, but yeah, you got plenty of spots to grab what you need if you're racing it. I don't know if it all depends on what your goals are.
Marisa, what's your plan? You're going handheld, you're going pack?
No, I think I'm going to wear my pack. I'm actually surprised I made that decision. I was thinking about it last night because I already started getting things ready. My pack gives me a little more confidence just in regard to if I'm out in the middle of a loop and I can tell when my body needs sugar and I don't have it on me, like then I'm in trouble. Well, not necessarily trouble, but then I'm going to struggle a little more until I hit aid. I got a new pack for Christmas and I kind of want to break it in. I love it. So I'm kind of excited to wear it. Now, if I might drop it for a loop, you know, because I will bring a handheld. I don't really have a belt that I like that doesn't make me like have a muffin top or makes me feel gross. So I'll probably just wear my pack.
Yeah.
If it's wet and I'm chafing, cause that thing does tend to all pack chafe me cause my torso is like this big. I'll just drop it for a lap and
yeah,
see how it goes. Once I do one lap, I'll have a good understanding of when aid is coming next, where the water drops. That first lap is going to give me a lot of confidence moving forward in regard to what I'm going to need.
Yeah.
It's a beauty. Yeah, courses like this.
It is. Yeah. And it's, I think sometimes some courses, even when the aid stations are really close together, like I've done a couple of things with a handheld, and that will be the one time that I trip and I like use my hands to brace my fall and like the top pops off of it and everything, you know.
It's clogged with dirt. That always happens.
Yes.
You're chugging on dirt for the next 50 miles.
I dropped my cookie and during duck, you know, like that's when those types of things happen. When you have a pack, you know, you kind of have your hands free to be able to brace your fall, which is, that's always helpful. All righty. Schaefer, how about you? You're probably doing a waist belt, right? Is that what you use?
No, I when I started running, I had a waist belt, but I found them uncomfortable. Like Craig, he loves his waist belts. He always wears them with the longer runs. Yeah. But I'll probably just take a handheld, and I might take my single barrel orange mud just because it's got some storage spots, but then it's got the one. Yeah, I don't think I'll take my big hydration pack. I was thinking about it, but shoot, I didn't realize there were so many aid stations and 13 miles. So
yeah.
I might bring it along. I don't know if I'll use it or not, but that way, if you have it and don't need it, great. But if you decide you need it and don't have it, then that's a problem. So,
What did Becky do last year? Is she there?
What did she wear?
No, did she wear a pack or did she use hand?
You wear your vest, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she wore her hydration vest.
I'm going to wear it part-time.
She said she's going part-time with it this time. Mm-hmm. I mean, keep in mind, and I'm not changing anybody's minds or anything, but it is going to be 70 out there midday. That's starting to get pretty warm, and that's my problem with the vests is they just hold my heat in.
That's a good point.
Whatever, that might be when you want to do a lap or two, try it without it.
Got it, right.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think there's probably going to be some people who are listening to this episode. If not, you know, they might not be tuned in right now, but they might be listening to it later this week, and they are going out there, they're going to Rabid Raccoon, and they have not run. This might be their first 100 miler or their first 100K. And the two of you, while you haven't done Rabid Raccoon before, you have done hundreds before. So what advice do you have for the people who are going out there to Rabid Raccoon? It's their first of whatever distance they're choosing. Maybe it's the Trashy Panda. Maybe it's their first 50K, their first 100K. And Schaefer, what advice would you give to them? What would you say?
Well, I didn't realize it was going to be 70 degrees out, so I'm definitely going to throw some salt tabs in my pack because
let's back up. What did you realize for this race?
In Pennsylvania.
Yes, so. And it's 30 miles northeast of Pittsburgh, and it's going to take me about 3 hours and 15 minutes to get there from my house.
Okay, good. We got that down. Do you know when it starts? Do you know what?
5 a.m. I'm relying on Tess and Mike for that because they rented an Airbnb and I'm staying with them. But I don't know. It just, I'm a poor one to ask. You guys know that. You know, for me, I don't do the gels. They just tear my stomach up something fierce. What I find works for me is for my quick sugar is I just do the little Ziploc baggies, the snack size, and just put about 2 tablespoons of honey in them. And I just bite a corner and just suck on them. That worked great for me at Eastern States. Jennifer made up about 10 or 12 for me. And I think I went through about all of them through the course of it. And I had no problems whatsoever in eat. You know, you may not think you want to eat because, ooh, I don't know how my stomach, but a lot of your trail stuff's bland. It's just quick sugars and cheap carbs a lot of times. So I know I feel a lot better after, you know, eating during a race. The first year Craig let me RD Call the Wilds 50K, you know, I thought it was important for me to stop at all the aid stations. You know, these were all the people that I had asked to spend 5-6 hours at a time out there waiting on runners to come through. So I ate a lot at each one of those aid stations. And that was the best I ever felt after a race. So
yeah,
you know, I don't know. You know, do what works for you, I suppose.
Yeah, but I think that's good advice. Eat early and often. And for those people who struggle with it, I think honey is a great option. Maple syrup is a great option.
I say Mikey Zimmerman, Gabe Batdorf, they're both strong believers in the maple syrup. That's too sweet for me. I know it's
tree. Suck it down.
Tap a tree. It's fine. Yeah. Even a little bit of maple syrup every once in a while can be really helpful, and it goes down pretty fast too. Mm-hmm. So you're not wasting a lot of time with it, you know? That's great advice. Marisa, what would you say to those folks heading out for their new big distance?
I would remind them to remember why they're there, what they love about this sport. I mean, there's so many opportunities when you can be out there in the middle of everything and shit just going wrong. But all it takes is 1 minute for you to just stop and say, okay, there's nowhere else I want to be right now. And you like literally you're there because of that. So you're going to say that to yourself, you're going to believe it. And then everything can turn around like that. That's what works for me. My first attempt at 100 mile, I DNF'd hard, like hard DNF. But what I took out of that experience, it is everything. I mean, in the moment, it's devastating. But when you look back on it in retrospect, the amount of knowledge you can gain out of a failed experience is monumental. But from that moment on, I've completed a few hundred milers, and that is the one thing that gets me through. I just stop and I say, get your shit together. And I do. And I remind myself why I'm there and how grateful I am to be there. Cause there's some people that wake up in the morning and they don't have that gift. Yeah. So don't waste it. Yeah.
That's right. That's great advice. We're inspiring all those people out there. I think they're going to have a great weekend. And there's going to be so many people out there to new friends to meet. Schaefer, are you excited for that?
I am excited.
Make new friends out there. And I think it's going to be a great weekend.
I do too.
Yeah, I look forward to hearing what you think of it and how your experience goes, and maybe having you on again, hopefully whether it's next week or shortly after, to talk about it, maybe along with maybe another finisher or two.
Yeah. Now, real quick, Schaefer, I don't want to ignore. There's some other very cool races happening this weekend. Blazing Saddles is happening this weekend. But also Fire on the Rocks. So are they still open for registration for Fire on the Rocks?
Yeah, they're going to do race day registration. So you might not be guaranteed a shirt, but they'll have plenty of hot sticky buns and Fireball.
Wow.
So, it's a really fun course. Like, super runnables, downhills are super fun. Last year was the first time I did it. And again, I was sad that they fell on simultaneous weekends, cause I was definitely planning again. So anyone out there that's thinking about going, just what John said, just show up and you'll have a great
day. I had Lizzie out there yesterday, and she's got three newbies she convinced to sign up, three of her colleagues that she works with at the Williamsport Middle School. So we met them all there yesterday morning, took them on the courses in phenomenal shape. It'll be a fun day. Stinking ice is finally gone, so it'll be a good day.
Yeah, awesome. I feel like up here in North Central PA and all Craig's races and all the races that go on over the summer, Fire on the Rocks is like the first one to say goodbye. And then I know it snowed the one year. I do know that, but it's like the first race of the spring season. Kind of start stuff off with a bang. It is a 10K on some of the Boulder Beast trails and things like that.
Yeah, you end up with about 1,500 feet of elevation gain in 6¾ miles. So, wow. You know, you get, I think, a good mix of what trail running is all about. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. And so that is, where does that start finish? Lock Haven.
At the Dirty Dabbers Pavilion, so that's on the way up to Zindel there in McElhattan. You park at Restless Oaks parking lot, same place you park for frozen snot, and then we mm-hmm. have a bus service, school buses take you up to the start finish line if you don't want to walk up to it. So
fabulous. So that is happening.
Half-mile walk, right, John?
Yeah, it's about a half mile. So you may walk up and then take the bus back when you're done.
Yeah, that's a nice little cool down. And let's see, Sunday, you know, speaking of spring kickoff races, Sunday is also the spring equinox race, which, well, run. It's a run, really, which is on the Mason-Dixon Trail down here in South Central Pennsylvania. So that one kind of kicks off the spring and goes through a very difficult, it's a 50K with 8,000 feet of gain. So it's a nice one to kick off the spring as well. And that one always comes around the time of the spring equinox. So that's kind of a neat one. And I know Dave Strine, who just joined in on the chat, he is a big, he helps to organize the spring equinox run, and his wife Rox is out on the Appalachian Trail right now. Shout out to Rox. She is, she's on adventure.
Shout out to Idiot Runner, apparently.
Yeah, just say she's the Idiot Runner.
She has been given that trail name, and so that's who she is until she finishes.
That's right. So Rox is Idiot Runner for the summer, and she's hitting her 100 miles soon. Keep going, Rox. You're amazing, and you inspire all of us. It's going to be fun to watch her adventure.
Yep.
Don't forget about Wednesday night down your way, Grace, is the Trail Running Film Festival going on in Lancaster.
Yep.
So that Emily and I are going to make the trip down. Some familiar faces. I think it starts at 7. The doors open at 6:20. So yep. It seems like a pretty cool venue. So I'm excited to come down and check it out. So. Yeah, all kinds of fun stuff. Another shameless plug. If any of you listeners or friends of listeners may be on the waiting list for Heiner, our work weekend, March 20th through the 23rd, every day from 10 to 1, if you're on the wait list, show up and help out for a day or two and make sure Craig knows you're there. You'll probably get an email from him with a get off the wait list and sign up. So. Just something, if you don't have anything going on next weekend and you're on the wait list and want to run Heiner, I know it's Easter weekend, but I think it's still going to be a good weekend. So I thought about doing a little sunrise sermonette up there on the up on the wall, since for the people that I'll be staying overnight. So
that's a great idea.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fun weekend. There's so many fun things happening this spring.
Well, as we're doing shameless plugs, come on, Eric.
What? I have a shameless plug?
Well, at Heiner.
I know I'm going to be at Heiner. I spent half my weekend, my Sunday, organizing all my stuff. I'm ready to be at Heiner. There's
all kinds of cool swag.
There's plenty
from the Idiot Runners.
Visors I need to get rid of, too. Thanks.
Buy some more. I give them away. They're in Connecticut. They're in New Jersey. So I'm getting the Idiot name out there.
Nice. I'm going to be ready more than I've ever been ready before. I got the Easy Up tent that's customized. I spent way too much money on it. I don't care. Mm-hmm. It's going to look like a shop. So we'll see.
Are you guys going to be live? I forget if you said that.
Probably not at Heiner this year.
I won't be there.
Trying to get you to buy stuff, Marisa.
I'm in the market for a hoodie, just so you know.
Okay. I bought a baby size one for you.
Oh, your rhyme in the beginning was hilarious. I was like,
that was good. That was clever.
Grace, you want to be a Heiner?
No, I'm probably going to be on the horseshoe.
Who's going to give me? Oh, okay. That's a better place to be.
I'm excited. It works out with my work schedule and with, it's just a really tricky trail to pick the perfect weather and also the grass not being completely overgrown. So, yeah, we'll see if I pick the right weekend or not.
You never know. Yeah. All right, let's end this show, people. Guys, thank you for being on, guys and gals. Marisa, thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
We appreciate you all the time. Best of luck this weekend. Have fun. Run with a smile. Run with joy. And we look forward to hearing how it goes.
Love you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. See you soon.
See you guys later.
Grace, take us out of this show, would you?
I sure will. Tune in next Monday, 7:30 live, or afterwards on the Spotify's and the iTunes, and make some comments and likes and shares so you can feed that algorithm on. So we appreciate you. Our guests are amazing. Thank you for being here. Eric, you too. You're so awesome, Eric. See you next weekend. Bye. See ya.